The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you. Hello. Again, My Music takes the air. Warming up on the tarmac, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. With, on the rival runway, David Franklin and Frank Muir. Away we go. A mazurka, as all our contestants know, is a Polish folk dance so-called because it originated in Mazovia. We begin today with four mazurkas, one for each of you gentlemen. Ian Wallace, you first. Who wrote this?
That was nice, wasn't it?
Ah, lovely tune, I think that is, yes. A real swinger.
Decent bit as well.
Yes,
yes. Yeah. It was, you know, I was enjoying that.
Any idea?
At least I would have been enjoying it if I'd known what it was came from.
It was called Mazurka.
Yeah, I know it's called Mazurka. It's a mazurka from something else.
Yes, from a suite. But you don't know the composer's name.
Give me a sort of...
It's a 13-letter name.
A 13-letter name?
Yes.
Johann Sebastian.
Can't wait any longer. No,
I can't. Give me the first letter.
Oh, no, that would really tell you.
Would it?
That would really tell you.
What's the first letter, then? See if it would.
Well, no marks to you. The first letter's K.
Hachachurian.
Yes. I think I'm right. 13, 2, 4, 6, yes. It was the mazurka from the Masquerade Suite by Hachachurian, and you don't get a mark in, do you? Dennis, your turn.
How many letters?
I was going to say, that would wake up anybody. What does it come from?
I don't know.
Is it ballet music?
Yes. I did give you a very slight clue.
You said waking up.
Yes.
Aurora.
No, I really can't.
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty.
Yes.
Chai.
Tchaikovsky's... The mazurka from Tchaikovsky's Sleeping Beauty. I suppose I must give you a mark, grudgingly.
We hit the post, but it went in.
Yes, yes. It went in. All right. Yeah. Must be kind to the other side when the time comes. David, a mazurka for you. David, you would scorn to gain a mark by telling me that was the mazurka by Chopin. But tell me, within five either way, to be generous, how many mazurkas Chopin composed?
Well, I think you'd do better to tell me when it was Chopin.
He's getting out his pocket calculator.
He's tossing for it. Let's have it.
Just under 50.
Exactly. The answer I have here is about 50. So you certainly get a mark. Frank, I suppose this is the most famous mazurka of them all nowadays.
Damn.
Frank, that comes from Coppelia.
I'm surprised you...
Which has a very strange subtitle. Any idea what it is for a mark?
Yeah, it's a dancing policewoman.
Very light, yes.
Any thoughts on that, Brad? Another fascinating bit about mazurka being a sweet. It sounds so much as savoury, doesn't it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, no, I'll tell you. Capellia, then, or the girl with the enamel eyes.
Well, she doesn't fall in the pit.
La fille aux yeux de mai, as Delib might always have said. Let's get a few musical facts straightened out in this next round. Ian Wallace, who wrote the six Haydn quartets?
Well, one is... It's rather like sort of saying, you know, who wrote Schubert's Unfinished Symphony?
What do you shoot with an elephant gun?
Yes, exactly. But
it's not, of course. No, I wouldn't have asked.
I think I'm really on a heighten to nothing as far as
Are you telling me that Haydn's quartets were ghosted?
No, I'm telling you that Haydn didn't write what are known as the six Haydn quartets.
Well, it wasn't, you know, they play these and it puts underneath Haydn was talking to Schubert, as they do in the footballers.
Enough of this fallah. Answer.
Well, somebody else must have written.
Question, who wrote the six Haydn quartets? Answer, Mozart. Between 1782 and 1785, in the dedication to Haydn, he wrote, I send my six sons to you, my dear and famous friend. So the six Haydn quartets were by Mozart.
He didn't know what trouble he was laying up for me all those years later.
Dennis, can you give me an example of an idiophone?
I'll give you an exact... I would call an idiophone the man who designed telephone boxes so that no matter what direction you approach them from, the door is always on the other side.
And I would accept that for a mark. I mean.
Unless idio and phone, if idio means something very personal and individual, and phone means sound.
No, idio doesn't mean individualistic in this particular connection, as far as I can see, anyway, having got the answer out of me. It's quite interesting, the answer. You've got a mark there. Under the classification of musical instruments, an idiophone is struck, shaken, or rubbed, like triangle, cymbals, or washboard. Drums are membranophones, violins are chordophones, and wind-blown instruments are aerophones. David, in a musical score, one sometimes sees at the start of a line the letters CB. What might they stand for? CB.
Contrabassi.
Yes, meaning?
Double basses.
Double basses, yes. On a score. Frank, Samuel Pepys wrote in his diary while at sea on June the 5th, 1660. And I quote, after supper, my lord called for the lieutenant's gittern, and with two candlesticks with money in them for cymbals, we made some barber's music, with which my lord was much pleased. Frank, a gittern being a kind of guitar, what did Pepys mean by barber's music?
Oh, yes, there's quite a lot of that.
Mm.
There's the overture to A Midsummer Night's Trim. Comb into the garden, Maud. There's a whole lot of it.
Very popular.
Shampoo's your lady friend.
Close harmony guitar music.
Yes, it's a phrase that would have been known guitar. To Mark Twain as well. I'll have to tell you.
They were bleeders, weren't they?
No. You're getting further away. In Pepys' day, guitar-type instruments were kept hanging up in barber shops for waiting customers to play. So barber's music means rough and ready, unskilled busking, so to speak, on the guitar. Mm. And the same thing applied in the Jack London, Jack London's America barbershop music in the same way. That's where the quartet started. Customers waiting to be shaved.
You know what I like in a barber is when they've finished, they put that, I don't know if they do this in ladies, but in gentlemen's theatres, they put a mirror up behind your head and ask you to look into it. I've always wanted to say, no, I'd like it a little bit longer.
One piano medley coming up. Or rather, two piano medleys. Oh. They're getting their Pensington paper out. One medley for each team. Ian and Dennis, see if you can write down the correct titles, and I'm going to be very fussy about one of them, the correct titles of the six tunes in your medley, starting now. I could see your lips moving, Dennis, for the last one. You've got that, I think.
Coming right. Home.
Yes, which was the tune from, do you happen to know?
Well, it's the New World Symphony.
Yes, from Dvorak. New World Symphony. There's a half mark to start with.
Yes. I've written down cheery right, but yeah. I think I meant cherry
right. Yes, old fruit.
And then we'll all pull together, Eton boating song.
Yes.
I've got down neck my old Dutch.
I don't think it was. No,
it was like it, wasn't
it? Yeah, but I don't think that.
No, I can't give you it. The particular line I played was, the sun will shine, although the skies are grey ones.
Oh, yes, da-dum, da-da-da-da-da.
Yes,
da-dum,
da-da-da-da-da. Da-dum, da-da-da-da-da.
A short life and a grey one.
Yes. But the
That's my motto.
Yes, the title...
I got it, Mary.
The title would have been My Motto.
My Motto, M-O-T-T-E-R.
Yes, the Arcadians, but I can't give it to you, of course.
Is that how it's spelled? Really, yeah. It is.
Next tune, please, there are two more.
When I Grow Too Old to Dream.
Yes, that's right.
A Bird in a Gilded Cage.
No. Curse of an Aching Heart.
Yes, that's right. Ooh. And you've got 2.5 out of 3, which you didn't get the title of My Motto. Very good. I'll shut my... Shall I be playing again for David Franklin and Frank Muir, your medley? Tells me you didn't do too well. Have you got? Let's have anything you've got there. David has been looking over Frank's paper. What's that?
The first one is Mickey
Frank
Mouse.
Frank got number
Mickey
three right.
Mouse. Mickey Mouse.
Really isn't its title.
No. Knights of Gladness.
No, the second one is Knights of
Gladness. No, the first one, Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse.
No, won't accept that. No,
I've
no.
Sung it all my life.
Mickey Mouse.
Stanchion. Stanchion Serenade by Johnny Higgins.
Oh, rubbish.
Knights of Gladness you've got. Anything else you've got there?
Knights of Gladness.
Yes, you've given it.
Third one's Waltz, I've got.
Yes, that's the one.
Waltz of My Heart.
That was there.
No, that's a fourth one, you fool.
No. The third one. Wasn't it something to do with the Spaniard, the third one?
No, not the Spaniard who blighted my life. No, it's not. No,
it was fourth.
Estudiantina by Valteufel.
And check the spelling.
Waltz of My Heart. I've given you that already. Yes, two more, please.
Then there's all the my when I dance, I sing, tra-la-la. Birds on the wing, tra-la-la.
It's the waltz song from Tom Jones.
Thank you, yes, by Edward German. Yes. And last?
Well, yes, that's very interesting because.
Louder?
No, I'm not going to give it to you again.
No, well, we haven't.
Vienna Blood by Strauss. You've got three.
What was it?
Vienna Blood.
Wiener Blut,
yes, by Strauss, Johann Strauss. So, you've got 1.5 out of 3 marks. Let's have a look at the score.
Oh,
leading at the moment by 1 mark, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Here's a quick, simple round to do with nationalities. Ian Wallace, what nationality was Handel?
When?
Yeah. So you get 0.5 mark for each.
Yes. Well, he started off in a place called Halle in Germany, and he finished up in a place called London.
Well, people may travel, but it doesn't affect their nationalities.
No, but he was naturalised.
Thank you, yes.
British.
German. English. Later English, yes. One mark for you. Good. Dennis, on a rather lighter side of music, what nationality is shared by the trumpeter Maynard Ferguson and the pianist Oscar Peterson?
Maynard Ferguson is Canadian, so I presume if it was shared by Oscar Peterson, Oscar was also Canadian.
Yes, nay, is. Yes, both Canadian.
It's
one
very
mark.
Good thinking there, Norton.
David Franklin, Rosa Poncel. There's a name from the vocal past. What nationality was she?
American.
Yes, that's right. Born in Connecticut of immigrant Neapolitan parents. One mark. And Frank Muir, where was Stokowski born?
Stoke. It was the, or more accurately, the east end of London.
Yes, London, of a Polish father and an Irish mother. His full name... I happen to have a picture of him here. There he is. His full name, Leopold Antonio Stanislav Bolislavovich Stokowski. And you get a mark.
Would you hold up the photograph again? I think some of the listeners may not have heard it.
I'll get this show on television. It's the last thing I do. Out to the next round. Ian, on hearing the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, what are you supposed to do?
Well, it was a pretty smart game of musical bumps. Because if you didn't get down pretty fast, it wasn't just that you were out of the game, you were in the burning, fiery furnace.
You were supposed to fall down
and worship.
This
was one of the sort of ways of spending knocking in an afternoon for Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
Get the fire stoked up and start the band.
Can you tell me the book?
The book?
Well, it wasn't the Mill on the Floss.
No,
was
it was just orchestral music. There wasn't a musical, you know. They just played the instrument. It was sort of like a biblical floral dance, as you might say. You mean the book that it was in, all this reportage, Daniel?
Yes, that's right. You were supposed to fall down and worship the golden image.
And then these
Nebuchadnezzar
Shedrach, Meshach, and Abednego came along.
Yeah. I'm up to you. Dennis, rather a personal question, this. How near are you to a basso buffo?
My style of singing is more like a basso aggro.
That is true.
Oh, I see.
A dumb show going on from
your
neighbour.
Yes. A rather elaborate dumb show by Ian there. An arm's length he was at that moment. He's now approached somewhat nearer.
Yes, hard luck. Yes, the reason being, of course, Ian is a basso buffo.
Yeah, I gathered that.
Do you want me to elaborate?
Not till the end of the show. Then you have to prove it.
I see. Yes, very good.
David, what is or are corni di caccia?
Hunting horns.
That's right. Language
based on the corni da caccia, based on the old Italian phrase, "You runner, we catcher."
Frank, your turn. What is serial music?
It goes snap, crackle and pop.
Never let it be said I don't give you chances. Yes, the real answer is much more dreary. Music composed on a note row or tone row. During the Second World War, we often heard the resounding phrase, "Let the people sing." Well, this is where we let our people sing on this stage, saving Ian's contribution till last. Looking forward to David's contribution and trying not to think about the other two. Dennis, you first, then answer in song, please. What happened to the youthful person from Ealing?
Oh. Yes, let me just straighten this out a minute. There was a young lady of Ealing who walked upside down on the ceiling. Is that her accent? She murmured, by heck, it's a very peculiar feeling.
All together now. It was a peculiar rhyme. Sing. No, don't.
What about let the people sing? One of the favourite misprints after the war that Frank and I, we've still got somewhere, a yellowing copy of it, was an outburst in a local paper against the fact that a military band had been prevented from playing on the village green. And it was the editorial, and it said, is this the spirit that won the war? Is this the jollity for which the yeomen of England are so famous? Is this a new kind of censorship that is sweeping over post-war England? Throw away the bounds and bonds that bind us. Let the people snig.
Happy to have been the instrument of reminding you of that. You get 2 marks for a bit of singing a moment ago. David Franklin, who is beguiling under blue skies but continues to smile under grey ones?
You know, the number of times I find myself in recent programs singing women's songs suggests to me that I ought to have a little private conversation with them. Give you or show you some essential information.
I can vouchsafe that you haven't changed your socks.
Actually, it isn't a woman's sock.
Sally, no. Sally, pride of Arad.
It's an underpass.
Next week in Sarah Pool, I think. Actually, as Dennis just said, of course, it isn't a woman's song. It's a man's song. It happens to have been made famous by a woman. Sally, you're more than the whole world to me.
Thank you, Dennis. I find that very reassuring.
The first Sally in our alley was written by a man called Harry Carey at the beginning of the 18th century.
Yes.
So you've just committed Harry Carey. Professionally, anyway.
You get 2 marks, David, anyway. Frank, still with the same artist, come to think of it. Which way is the portrait of Herbert facing and why?
Turn Herbert's face to the wall, Mother. Never more mention his name. Turn Herbert's face to the wall, Mother.
Something like, oh, no.
He's blotted the family's name.
Yes. Well, he's brought disgrace on the family and bowed down our heads with shame. There's a later verse. Can I give you a later verse?
Picture shall hang on black cord.
No, there's a verse I like particularly. Turn Charlie's face to the wall, Mother, and cross him off grandfather's will. Take his chair away from the table. Give his christening mug to Bill.
Sadistic.
How rotten could you get? You've got 2 marks as well. Ian, tell us a little about your first job in the city and what it eventually led to. First job in the city.
G&S?
Yes, that's right.
When I was a lad, I served a term as office boy to an attorney's firm. I cleaned the windows and I swept the floor and I polished up the handle of the big front door.
He polished up the handle of the big front door.
I polished up the handle so carefully that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
And now he's the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
Wrong. There is another version, which starts at least... when I was a lad, just a little pet, my mummy bought me a crystal set. With a wee cat's whisker and a set of cans, I was one of Stuart Hibbert's very earliest fans. But when this box of tricks wore out, we bought a set you could carry about, till the acid ran out the accumulator and swallowed up the carpet on the drawing room.
Who wrote that one, Ian?
Small thing, but mine own, with a lot of help from Sir Arthur.
Well, hope you enjoy the royalties, as I congratulate you, because it's a victory this week by 1 mark for you, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were David Franklin, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, And the programme was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan.